everybody. You're listening to What Would Save the World on Radio Free Brooklyn. My usual intro is not working because the people who were in here before me did something really fucking weird, so now Barbara Streisand is playing in the background, and I don't know why. Okay, wait. Oh, no. I found my thing. I found the right chord, so we're going to try to do that. We're going to try to play the intro because I just really like intros. I really think my intro is fucking hilarious, and I can go on my weird thing. An unknown error occurred. Okay, this is not fucking happening. Maybe we'll play it in a minute, but let's introduce my current guest right now. We have Persephone Sarah Jane Smith here. We're going to be talking about a buddy. You want to say hi? Hey, wait. Is your mic even on? What's going on? Say hi.
I can't. Oh, there I am. Hey.
There you are.
Hi, everyone.
Hey. So we're going to be talking about this ridiculous fucking thing that Mr. Cheeto tried to pull this time. Donald J. Trump. I love calling him that because anybody who takes themselves that seriously to say the J like that, you know, or any. Yeah, whatever. Fuck Donald Trump and fuck his like people who want to watch the Apprentice White House edition. But Persephone is running for city council in Brooklyn. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that before we jump into it?
All right. I'm running for city council in District 37, which is like the eastern part of Bushwick, which is about from where we are, DeKalb. I think Hart Street is the next street over, but Hart all the way to through up into East New York. And we started back in February, and the campaign's been going strong. Still looking for all that support and donations to keep it going.
How can people get involved? How can people donate?
VotePersephone.org.
How do you spell Persephone?
P-E-R-S-E-P-H-O-N-E. And you can go to nycvotes.org. And there is a donation page there for me also.
Hell yeah, donate because these. So I want to hear a little bit about like what you stand for as a candidate, just because you know that's what's going to motivate people. So
all right,
let's talk about that because also we have Queen Amore coming in as a performance artist, and you know she's got some shit to say. She was on here a couple weeks ago talking about pride and pink washing and stuff. I'm going to be posting that to Audio Boom ASAP, but all the shit got fucked up with my files. That is like the fun thing about my show. I'm chaotic as fuck. But also if you we're going to be posting on Twitter and stuff like questions relevant to the show. At the Twitter to the number 2 KEDALOW, and you can get in, you can, you know, get involved with the show, get involved with the motherfucking show. All right. So tell us about your positions.
All right. Well, first off, I do want to say that I am running on the Green Party ticket. Now, you know, when people hear that, the first day they think, oh, a bunch of environmental wackos. No, we're not. We're not freaking wackos. Actually.
Well, you're not.
There is actual big movement that's going on now to pretty much make the Greens a bit more radical and a bit more proactive in their actions. And so we're just really coming up. And, you know, a lot of us are out there actually at protests. So we're big on police reform, if not abolition, anti-gentrification, of course.
And also an important thing to say about that is I think Persephone is going to be talking at this event that the political shows on Radio Free Brooklyn are going to be throwing at the Footlight on Monday, August 28th. And we're going to talk a little bit. It's going to be mostly about gentrification and colonialism. Anyway.
Yeah. and also just a lot of job retraining and education ideas and trying to get people to, I mean, let's face it, $15 is better than $7.25 an hour.
Or we could just abolish money.
That would be even better.
But that's not going to happen. You can't force people into that kind of shit because they're not going to volunteer.
And, you know, just get people retrained to get the better jobs. I'm by trade, I am a software engineer, programmer, whatever you want to call me. I am a nerd, a tech nerd. And so a lot of my ideas kind of center around getting people trained in programming, hardware, software, to work at some of these big tech companies so that they can at least, you know, be able to live in New York City.
It's just like so fucking expensive. It's
right.
And they can't even keep the L and the M running at the same, you know, it's
right.
Like,
oh
it's
my
so
goodness.
Expensive.
I mean, I live out by Myrtle Wyckoff, so I got like, I'm all right. 'Cause I have either the M or the L, But, you know, surviving without the M this far, this long so far has been like, this is annoying. But, you know, it's fucked up shit.
Yes.
Hey, I can say fucked up shit.
Yeah, say fucked up shit on the fucking radio. So this is what we're going to do. We have Remy Grarber and this person, Carly Crystal, who I never met. But they have both been in the military. They are both trans folks in the military, as Persephone has been, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we're going to talk all about that. We're going to play my intro because I got it fucking set up and I just really want to play it.
So we
gave our intro. We gave Persephone the Green Party plug and shit, and we're gonna get into this. So here we go. What the fuck? What the fuck? This is such a fucking bullshit crap. What the hell is going on? Why is everything such a disaster? Why does nobody love me? Why does nobody love me? Oh, you love me, but not my intro. My intro doesn't love you. You want to know why? It's because I'm using the wrong fucking button. Because everything. Capitalism. Oh, here we go. I'm gonna play my intro. Yes. What would save the world?
Veganism.
Gun control.
Ending capitalism.
Consensus.
More guns.
Nonviolent communication.
Anarchy.
Green energy.
Spirituality.
Law regulation.
Emotional education.
And the war on drugs.
Libertarianism.
Socialism.
I'm Tuke Etalo, and this is
What Would Save the World on Radio Free Brooklyn every Wednesday from 3 to 4 p.m.
All right, 8 minutes into the show, we play my fucking, 2-minute intro just because it's fun. Keep it going. You know how often I can't get my thing. So we're going to try calling Remy and Carly right now. Let's have it ring on the radio just because that's fun. It adds, this whole little element, you know. This is super meta right now what I'm doing. It adds an element of fun. Why is it not? Yeah, ring both group members. Yes, call them. Come on, Facebook. You know what I want. Hello.
Hello, can you hear me?
Can you hear me now?
Hello.
Hello, Remy, Carly, can you hear me?
Yep, I can hear you.
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Remy, can you hear me? Carly, can you hear me? It becomes it's always for me whenever I do that, it's a cross between Tommy, can you
hear
me?
Can you hear me?
And yeah, I can hear you both. It's always a cross between awesome. Tommy, can you hear me? And Papa, can you hear me? Do you know what I'm saying?
Tommy, can you hear me?
And then it's Tommy, Papa, can you hear me? That Barbra Streisand shit? Nobody gets Barbra Streisand.
Yeah.
You don't like Barbra Streisand?
I kind of do.
Okay, then, let's not get here because that'll take the whole episode and I'll get really mad. And it's really what would save the world is if nobody ever talked to me about, opinions, conflicting Barbra Streisand opinions, because that's just, that's just a dead end. You hearing that weird shit in your ear?
No, I just can't. I just wish I was trying to figure out how to.
Oh, don't touch it.
Turn it up in the headphones.
Oh, I can do that.
It's very difficult to hear.
Can you hear better now?
I can. Awesome. Now it's just.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. All right. So let's get started. So, Remy and Carly, you've both been in the military, correct?
That's correct over here.
That's correct. Okay. I can hear Carly. Remy, are you still there?
Yeah, that's correct over here, too.
Okay. So. So why don't we go one at a time? Persephone, I want to hear what y'all think about this fucking military ban. What was your first thoughts when you heard about this? Persephone, do you want to go first?
Sure. I kind of laughed because I thought it was funny. It's like, all right, still making policy with tweets. Nice.
But what about Remy?
So I kind of had a little bit of a split reaction because at first part of it, I was like, oh, okay. You know, maybe we can make this a step in the direction of nobody gets drafted and nobody should be in the military. But also, on the other side of it, you have to understand that singling out trans people for anything, for any reason, leads to further discrimination down the line and outside of the military.
Mm-hmm.
So that was my reaction to it.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So, Carly, how do you feel?
I feel like at this point they're going to start handing out general discharges to all the 15,000 active transgender soldiers that are in, because that's what they do, is they hand out general discharges for,
everything
to the people. Yeah, for
so everything. So I'm one of these people who doesn't know a lot about the military. I think a lot of people, especially people in cities who don't live in I don't know, this is going to sound really like awful New Yorker shit, but I feel like it's more common to join the military in other parts of the country. Like, I feel like New Yorkers don't join the military that much.
Actually, more than you thought. I mean, we had three on our ship, we had three people, you know, nicknamed Brooklyn, okay? So, and a lot of people from New York
oh, really?
And New Jersey, and actually the whole tri-state area here.
So then I'm ignorant as fuck. But I still feel like, what?
No, I was saying 10th Mountain Division, Uniondale, New York. That was actually one of our duty stations.
Y'all got to talk a little bit louder, and it's not your fault. It's just I can't hear. oh, my God. It is so funny, like, these phone call things. It's always like, what? So I just feel like, but my point is a lot of people don't really understand, like, the military that much. So, like, if you have a general discharge, what does that mean? Do you still have access to the health care and all the things, or are you out? Like,
you
what
have
does that mean?
Access to the VA.
You're out.
Well, I mean, you're out of the military, but you have access to the VA, whatever that means these days. It really doesn't mean Jack, considering how underfunded and understaffed they are.
And how understaffed who are?
The VA.
Well, that's also really, really, really dependent.
Yeah.
On your case.
Yes, that is
it's
true.
It's one of those case-by-case basis things that they decide how much they're going to give you.
Really?
Right.
So they could just straight up decide. So all veterans are not equal. It's a thing where it, like, depends.
Right.
So really? See, I feel like, I don't know shit. Why don't y'all just tell me, like, a little bit about how they, like, more about how this works? Like,
you have your typical general discharge, and then you have those like me who were other than honorable, which I don't exactly know what that means, but it did kind of deny me a lot of early on. It denied me a lot of benefits from the VA until I actually, like, years later, I fought for, you know, getting that upgraded so that I could have access to the VA. And then after that, I just didn't care because I had health care.
why did they give you an other than dishonorable? Was it like during Don't Ask, Don't Tell kind of bullshit?
It was during that time, but mine was I became, I guess, a conscientious objector, and then I was deemed not fit for duty anymore.
A conscientious objector.
Yeah, I'm former Special Forces, and we did stuff, and I didn't like it, and I was done. After almost 6.5-7 years, I was done.
Wow. What were your experiences like, Remy and Carly?
Carly, you want to go first?
Sure, yeah. Mine was 6 years. I received a general discharge. They didn't really give me a reason for my general discharge. It was just, here you go, have a general discharge. And it kind of undid everything that I had worked for because I had never really had a job outside of, you know, the military. So it was like I was pushed out and, you know, go fend for yourself for a little bit. And then the VA started helping me 4 years after that.
Yeah.
Whoa. So, like...
Yeah, it took quite a while for the VA to start caring. I know it says that. I know there's a sign that says VA cares, but it's not a complete sign. It should say the VA cares very little, depending on your situation.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's pretty disgusting. Like, so it's like, why do you think you were discharged?
I can't pinpoint a reason. The only other reason that I could think of is that I had become suicidal, but even then I should have received a medical discharge.
Right.
Wow. That's just
with a medical discharge, I would have been able to get my life together, piece my life together. But that was not even, you know, given to me as an option.
Yeah.
Wow. That's
homelessness was my option.
See, that's so fucking like. These fucking people who voted for Trump and they're like, he's going to support the veterans. It's like,
yeah.
God, I mean, like, honestly, like, you know, I'm glad, Persephone, that you're running for, like, smaller, like, level government because we need more of that. But I don't believe that anybody, like, who really runs in a higher level government actually gives that much of a fuck. And maybe that's a really ignorant thing that I think. But I just feel like a lot of higher level government is just like, it's like, What kind of person wants to be president of the United States? Do you know what I'm saying? Like, what kind of person wants that amount of power?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, people, some of my friends joke, oh, yeah, next step is the presidency. I'm like, heck no. I don't want to even get close to Washington. You know, I mean, you say that you think that higher level government, you know, those people just don't care. I've been seeing a lot of signs of that, even in, municipal government. And it kind of sucks. I mean,
is it just people with like small level narcissism where they just want to have.
But see, the problem is that you can't step into government without getting some of it on your shoes.
That's true. This is true. But
without getting some of it on your shoes, and you gotta step and tread very carefully in there. It's one of those things that you get in and get out, just like the military.
That was the intention of government. You go in, you do some time, you help your community, and then you're done.
I think
not
it should be
legacies.
Like, it should be like jury duty.
Yes,
you know what I mean. Something like that. But
yes.
But Remy, it's I want to know what your experience is.
So my experience might be a little bit different. I spent about 2 years in before Don't Ask, Don't Tell found out that my flag was too rainbow colored. I wasn't out as transgender yet. I hadn't discovered that side of me at that time. But it kind of started with a joke during an inspection, at least that I thought was a joke, and it turned out to actually be an accusation. And at the time, I wasn't out about my sexuality. I was just the odd duck, and I was totally okay with being the odd duck because I was at least good at my job.
Mm-hmm.
Once they found out about my sexuality, the fact that I had like a 280 PT score, that I was an expert marksman in four different weapon systems, all that didn't matter. What mattered was my sexuality. And this is coming from like an infantry side of point of view, where it's like, you know, you really, really should care about someone's physique. You really, really should care about someone's marksmanship. You really, really should care about their expertise at the job, but it didn't matter. Mm-hmm. What mattered was the fact that I was queer and they wanted me out. And when we talk about Don't Ask, Don't Tell, it wasn't a simple like rubber stamp where they slap a stamp on your paperwork and say you're gone. It was about 4 to 6 months of I lost rank twice. I lost pay twice. I was on extra duty forever. Mm-hmm. I ended up basically physically torturing me for a certain period of time, and all of it was in an effort to get you to either commit a crime or to commit suicide. And
Whoa.
The idea behind it is that if you did either of those things, they could then put you out with a discharge other than honorable, because I have an honorable discharge because I didn't give them anything. Basically, they just went with they put me out eventually with borderline personality disorder, which I don't have. I have paperwork from different therapists saying I don't have it. But if you look back at the during those years, they used borderline personality disorder discharges to put out rape victims, victim of sexual assault, victim anybody that they didn't have something on the books to get rid of.
Wow.
So the idea behind torturing somebody was that it would give them an out to deny you benefits and to deny you basically any of the dignity that you had at the time when you went in and while you were serving. So on that side of things, that's why I really look at things and say, you know what? Maybe nobody should serve. Like that's an abuse of power.
Mm-hmm.
And on top of that, it really fits into the way the U.S. military is used in the world. And the idea that, you know, we have a foreign policy which dangles this military sword of Damocles over everyone's head, saying if you don't play ball with us, we're going to use this stick on you. Mm. So in terms of the trans ban, the way I looked at it was like, you know what, it's just a continuation of everything that was already happening in the military before President Obama said, you know what, maybe Don't Ask, Don't Tell is not a good idea. But you can't just change the culture like that with a wave of a pen. So by saying that, you know, hey, we're going to get rid of this policy. No, we're going to keep this policy. No, we're going to get rid of this policy. The policy is still there. It's just not official, or it is official, or maybe it's not official. I don't know.
Yeah. Exactly.
My mother was telling me, I don't know what she's saying a lot of the time, but she knows she just watches CNN and shit. Like, I don't know where she's getting all her info, but she said that like the military people were just like, to Trump, no, there's like no paperwork about this. This isn't happening.
Yeah. Joint Chiefs of Staff, one of the generals or admiral or whatever, he said, yeah, policy isn't made through tweets. So business as usual.
but you think
maybe policy should be made by tweet because it's limited to 140 characters instead of 50 pages.
Right? I didn't think of it that way. Maybe it should.
I mean, oh, here we go. I think we got Queen of Moore coming in here. Do you want to open the door, somebody? Oh, the door. We got Queen of Moore coming in here. Is that Queen? Is that Queen? Did somebody knock or no?
I guess
not. Yeah, so like my biggest fear though with the trans ban though is it also justifies all the other stuff that goes on outside the military.
Yeah.
Because if you look at the groups that were prohibited in the past or restricted in some way, their rights were actually tied to military service. So the right to vote, the right to housing, who owned land, who could own land.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, at the same time as the trans ban tweet, now we also have people in I think it's either the House of Representatives or Senate introducing verbiage to try and strike down Title IX wording that protects transgender individuals in terms of sexuality and gender identity. And
Title IX,
words.
And that's so like the sexual verbiage. Assault, like campus stuff. Is that what that is?
No, that.
Title IX extends to basically who's covered by what discrimination laws.
Oh, so yeah. Wow. I feel silly.
So in terms of like the Civil Rights Acts and Title IX, over the past, I think, 8 to 10 years, transgender individuals have had a lot of successes in terms of being afforded and gaining ground on what rights were extended to them, which previously were not allowed. So when you look at historically about who is denied the right to serve, and again, this isn't me making an argument that anybody should serve or that anybody should serve. My argument is that by singling a group out and saying, no, this group here can't serve, it has tangible impacts outside of the military in terms of things like housing discrimination, workplace discrimination.
Yeah.
These things are linked to one another.
What? Hello?
Hello?
Are you saying something, Carly?
Sorry, my connection. Yeah, I was. No, I was saying that it just makes it easier for companies to deny us more that we deserve by the military doing stuff like that instead of, you know, supporting their transgender veterans. Because there's a large population at the VA that is, you know, that is not even just transgenders. The LGBT community inside the VA is large. It's just getting people to, you know.
Right.
The outside companies to, you know, start working closer, you know?
Yeah. Since the tweet, I've been trying to tell my friends who were, you know, arguing amongst each other about how imperialist or not imperialist the military is. I was like, you know, this is not about that. It's about this is another brick called precedence that they are going to use in order to strip us of more rights. This is about pure discrimination. It's not about who or, you know, who should or who should not join the military.
And Queen of Moore just walked in. Queen, are you ready?
I am. Hey.
Wait, talk on the mic again.
Hey, go ahead.
I don't know if this is a word. Talk, keep talking.
Hey, what's going on?
That's it. Okay, I think that's the right mic for you. So we actually, Queen of Moore is here, we have Persephone here, and we have Remy and Carly on the phone, and we were just getting to, Persephone was talking about, so it's not about how the military is all, like, imperialist, but here, keep going.
It's about, like, it's pure and simple, it's about the discrimination, and using this as a part of their whole case of precedence in order to strip us of more rights. You know, so they can just look back on this and say, see, we don't allow transgender people in the military. We don't allow them to do this, that, and, you know. So it just goes on and on. But honestly, because I don't care. I don't want anybody to join the military either. But, you know, they should still have, it's their right to choose. If they want to do that, they can do it.
So, Queen, do you want to just hop right in here with some of your thoughts? We probably covered some of it, but you can just go.
So I think that the start of movement, a start of a movement for the trans community, and I think that personally, one, why anybody would want to fight under our current administration is ludicrous. And I think that there are so many issues worth fighting for when it comes to trans equality that I think fighting for the right to serve in the military, for me personally, is a right that I'm willing to sacrifice. Basically because I want education, I want healthcare, I want housing. You know, these are all encompassed. And if we're let's take trans out of it for a moment and talk about the people as a collective and what our rights as an American is. What rights does being an American entail? Yeah, being American entails that I have a right to, if I want to enlist, I can enlist. But also what are the repercussions to some of that? I don't think that as an American, I don't think that I can be that enlisting in the military is going to do me any good. I don't think it's going to do anybody else any good. And I think for future generations, our generation, maybe we should take a step back and just not join the military. Yeah. And how much money is being allocated to the military defense budget? Close to $1 trillion is being dumped in war and military defense every year. But we can't feed our people, we can't house our people, we can't educate our people. The people who do go into the military, there are how many veterans are on the streets right now? Because we have almost 70% of our veterans that come back from war cannot get housing.
Which we just found out a lot of the things, I didn't know this, that there was there's unequal access to the veterans' healthcare, depending on how you were discharged, yep, and all these things. I did not know that was the case.
It's a huge thing. And back in 2013, me and a few other people and a bunch of other people slept on the outside of the Veterans Affairs in Washington D.C. and to fight for those rights. And I think what is crazy to me is that veterans that are cisgendered and white come back from, from war, from the serving in the military, and they can't get these rights. What do you think is going to happen to a trans woman of color who comes back from war and can't get these rights? So it's not really about, I feel like in the long run, not serving in the military is actually in the best interest of the trans community. And in fact, we can use our energy and our time and our resources to raise awareness. Why is nobody talking about the 17 trans women of color that were murdered this year?
Yes.
Yeah.
Talk about that.
Yeah. Nobody's talking about that.
Nobody. I mean, I was talking about
I also feel like things can't be changed from the outside, I feel like that's one of those things, just like government, they have to be changed from the inside out. We could scream at a building from the outside all day, but to effectively change something, you got to change it from the inside. And I feel like that's what I wanted to do in the military. I don't know, but
do you feel like you were able to make any impact like that?
I feel like if the delivery were done correctly, I think things could be effectively changed in the military, but it's just a matter of getting things through the right channels and changing them for the better.
But do you think the military should even exist in the capacity that it does? Like, do you think the government?
No way.
Not in the capacity that it does now. No way.
That's an oppressive way that it's run currently. Mm-hmm. I feel like we should have a militia, but it should not be what it is currently.
There's too much money. There's too much money in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's not
Carly, if you can talk a little louder, it's really hard to hear you, and I don't want you to get talked over too much.
Oh, yeah. It's just an oppressive way of running the world.
So
our military, because to the rest of the world, we're a very oppressive country,
and within our country, too, mm-hmm, in some ways.
Yeah, and within our country also.
I mean, we have some serious American privilege also, but it's important to acknowledge that, people are not equal in America, as pretty much everybody here knows.
No,
I do see the slippery slope that the trans ban causes, I see that it's opening a portal to discrimination, but also that doesn't change the fact that we've been facing complicit discrimination and we've been facing this for so long. It's now just kind of coming to light. But this has been my daily life every day. This is facing oppression and facing discrimination. This is something that I experience every day. The trans ban is nothing new. I feel like there's a trans ban in society general.
Yeah.
Like,
oh my God.
You know, not just in the military, but like when I'm walking down the street, you know, like, I'm misgendered. I'm, targeted, by, I'm called a faggot. Gross. I'm called this and this. And, I've been dehumanized from the beginning.
Yep.
But, you're not going to see me out here fighting for my right to fight in the military. I'm going to fight for my right out in the street to exist in this society. Period.
And, that is cool. And I would not tell anybody not to do that. But also, I like to mention that, honestly, when it comes to inclusion and diversity and civil rights, the military actually has been a lot more in the front of that. Even, desegregating the troops back in 1940s and 50s, World War II, Korea. And, but well before the Civil Rights Act and, now the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, but who cares? I mean,
honestly. How long was that in effect for Don't Ask, Don't Tell?
Wow. Jeez, I don't even remember when it started. I've been alive that long, but it was a long time.
But something that I
want to
ask.
I thought it was when it was repealed. Never mind.
How long has it been around? It was instituted by the Clinton administration.
1993.
Yep.
And then when was it repealed?
It actually says 1994.
2009, right?
In 94?
It was repealed?
I have it right in front of me. It says, Don't Ask, Don't Tell was the official United States policy on military service by, we know what it is, instituted by the Clinton administration on February 28th, 1984, when the Department of Defense Directive 1304.26, issued on December 21st, 1983, took effect, lasting until September
20th, 2011. So, and now you think if the Clinton administration put that in effect and the Trump administration is putting this into effect, then we have a long way to go before this ban is gone. So, we have a long way to go. We have a long way to go.
Well,
long, long time.
Remy, were you trying to say something?
Yeah. So I wanted to address something that I think it was Carly that was saying about working from the inside and working and trying to change things in that direction. I mean, it's a nice idea that I'll go political with this. A nice idea that a lot of liberals will pitch was like, you got to work from within the system to change it. The problem with it working within the military system to change is that takes roughly 20 years, because in order to make your way up that leadership chain, it's not a fast process. And I think all of us that have been enlisted know that if you're within the bottom five ranks in the military, your voice doesn't mean shit.
No.
So that's a very slow process. So you need pressure on the outside from outside of the system, and you need to create communities that are self-sufficient, that don't rely on a system that's going to discriminate against them. Because let's be honest with what the system looks like. I was actually having this discussion with Michael earlier about the way the system was built in terms of capitalism and colonialism. Capitalism and colonialism are very similar, and it's roughly the same thing. People didn't cross the ocean to the United States in 1492 because they wanted to know what the Americas looked like. They crossed it for capitalistic and business reasons. So you have a whole system which has been built for the last 900,000 years. Yeah. So you have – sorry, not 900 years. I'm sorry. For the last 600, 700 years on – and it's all been based around the same idea, which is expansion of a business, expansion of corporate interest, and expansion of capitalism. And this is not to get into like capitalism or anti-capitalism, but yeah.
I mean, this is relatively an anti-capitalist show. Capitalists can come on here, but this is an anti-capitalist. This is an anti-capitalist show.
Okay.
So you can go there as hard as you want.
All right. So when we talk about. The way the system has been built, it's had an empire for 700 years. Like it's not suddenly a new thing to discriminate against somebody or a new thing to kill off a culture. Like this is an old practice. The only difference is the tactics that we use today are just a little bit more covert instead of being in your face. Like, we're going to slaughter some people during the Inquisition. We're going to slaughter this group because they're women. We're going to slaughter this group because they're native, because they're indigenous. It's
not because anybody that's not a white cisgendered male is different.
Oh yeah,
As I said, most of it's at least from what way I look at it, in terms of the military, Like, the military is a business, and it's used to enforce a business. So I don't necessarily agree with the idea that we should be trying to change that from the inside, just because that takes a really, really long time, and there's no guarantee of success.
And typically, when you
change that from I think the way to change it is from the outside, by just denying business the supply line.
By non-compliance. And I think the thing, a lot of the times when you try to go into a situation, or when you go into the system to change the system from within, it's not you that changes the system, it's the system that changes you. So, and because people aren't, you know, a lot of times you're not able to, you know, set, you know, who you are, you know, and that differentiate between who you are and the system. And I think that if we're going to change anything, then it becomes non-compliance. It becomes, you know what, maybe we should not enlisting in the military. Maybe it's not, you know, working this, you know, not going to work for Bank of America. Maybe it's not, you know, maybe it's, you know, if our money has power and our dollar bill, and we vote with our dollar bill every day when we go to the store, then maybe we should be, you know, spending our dollar bills on something that we believe and support in.
See, this is what I wanted to, this is what I'm curious about. So we keep talking about, like, oh, well, the money goes into the military, the money goes, we should be putting into schools and this and this and this and this. And, like, I understand that. And I understand, like, that, you know, it's, look, it sounds simple to just rely on the government for these things, you know, to make it that the government.
It's the community's responsibility.
So that's what I'm saying. I wrote when you were saying this, do you think the government should be giving us these rights, or should we just fucking take them?
We should be taking them.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
we should be taking them.
Because nobody's going to give us freedom. Freedom is you take that freedom.
I had an
no one's going to hand it to you on a silver platter.
I had an episode on here, like I think it was like, I think it was last week, where I had this guy, Marduk the Sun God. He's somebody I know from a commune, and he actually worked in a military hospital for a while. He's ex-military, and he was talking to me about how he thinks that everybody should be taught how to do insert an IV, because, like, a lot of things that you'll get sent to the hospital for, they hook you up to an IV, and it's just saline solution and, like, water or whatever, you know. And it's just, like, immediately you get more hydrated, and you're going to be less sick after that from, like, a lot of things. And how, like, maybe, like, antibiotics, it should be something that could be easier for people. And you can get antibiotics through the fucking fish food. Did you know that? Did you know that you can get antibiotics that humans use for shit like gonorrhea and stuff that you can give to your fish over the counter, but you can't get yourself? So I guess what I'm saying is, like, why aren't we starting our own fucking schools? Do you know what I'm saying? Why are we not just, like, seizing control?
Yeah, fish food doesn't taste like bubble gum.
Yes, it's true.
What do you say?
That is true.
What do you say?
Fish food doesn't taste like bubble gum.
Fish food? I'm talking about fish antibiotics.
Oh, fish antibiotics? You can get that over the counter?
Yes, you can. And it's just smaller doses of human antibiotics.
Holy crap.
That you have to go to a doctor for.
That's ridiculous. That's fucking crazy.
I didn't even
know that. The point I'm making is that
because imagine if the people had, like, access to these resources, you know, then what kind of power would the government, like, what kind of power would the institution actually have?
Exactly.
If we had,
I want to take power away from the government.
Yeah, personally. Shit like
which
that.
Which means we need to take our resources back.
Well, shit like that.
There's so many things that we could do ourselves, like making our own apps. Like, I have a program for making apps. I can make my own apps for Android and iPhones. And I feel like we do need to be more self-sufficient and stop relying.
I have an app idea, actually, if you want to exchange information later.
Oh, absolutely. Totally, absolutely do that.
I'll put everybody in contact at the end of the show, but let's stay on topic.
I think the concept that we should definitely talk about then is the whole idea behind mutual aid.
I want to say before we're hitting, we're like 20 minutes out from ending the show, and I just want to say real quick, you've been listening to What Would Save the World on Radio Free Brooklyn. My name is Tuke Edel. I'm here with Persephone, Sarah, Jane Smith, Queen Amore, Remy Garber, and Carly Crystal. So then, okay, you were talking about mutual aid. Go.
So, okay. So what we were talking about was the idea behind mutual aid. Instead of relying on the government to do something for you or a large organization or entity, we can rely on one another and build community resources. So when we talk about poverty, instead of hoping that someone can get food stamps or hoping that someone can get on some form of disability, we could turn to our neighbors and we could turn to those that we build community with. Just because I say community doesn't mean like a physical community as in like your neighborhood, but the idea that you could fundraise with one another or share resources to solve an issue that is prevalent in society. So the idea that mutual aid is really helpful. It's just something that I don't see a lot of. I see a lot of potential for organizing and base building, but not a lot of people seizing on that opportunity to do so.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, from a young age, people are taught, well, your skills are valuable and you should get paid for them. And this selfish attitude of not helping out your neighbor and stuff. I mean, I grew up in a community. I am part Hawaiian and African American, and I grew up in a community that freaking helped each other. I mean, if you actually literally went to my neighborhood, you wouldn't be able to tell, like, well, which one's your mother, because everybody acted like everybody's mother and, you know, and stuff like that. But, you know, I, like me, I'm more than happy to teach the skills I know. I know, like, you know, survival skills. I know, like, urban gardening and all sorts of stuff. And I'm more than happy to teach that to people so that they can be self-sufficient, get away from the electric companies and get away from, you know, these big food chains that want to charge you way too much for vegetables. And yeah, I don't know. I want to do this stuff. This is why I'm ready for city council, because I feel that if I can get there, the money that we get for our districts, I can put it to some good use and try to make the community better and keep out all the real estate developers who want to buy up all our land for nothing.
Yeah, keep out the fucking real estate developers.
Because the last thing we need is another fucking condo.
Right.
Yeah, oh, that nobody God. Can afford.
Seriously,
not me.
Oh, my God. Okay, so this is something I have to share. So I post questions all throughout on Twitter, and I posted, are you aware of how abusive the culture in the military can be? # what would save the world. And somebody said, it's meant to be. The primary purpose of the military is to kill people.
Wait, what? Wait, who said that?
Just this person. So you have to understand.
You're not supposed to beat the crap out of your own soldiers to get them to kill better.
You have to understand is that my Facebook page is dominated by people who just like found me somehow and like decided they'd friend me because it's fun for them to argue. And this person, I was arguing with them, and we really weren't agreeing. And they were like, I like you because you give me stubborn answers or something. But what I would like...
So let's be open about military culture in terms of abuse. Troop abuse is actually really, really prevalent. And it's an issue that gets raised up in non-commissioned officer corps all the time. And we talk about effective leadership. And the old, quote unquote, old army or old school thought was that you could beat leadership into somebody, or you could beat obedience into somebody and make them a more effective soldier. And the reality is that when you abuse troops and you abuse soldiers, you abuse Marines, airmen, Coast Guardmen, seamen, whatever your unit, whatever branch you're in, the only thing that you really do is you traumatize them. Yeah, you make them a better soldier in the sense that they'll do certain things and be more conditioned to take that abuse. But at the same time, at the end of the day, once everything is said and done, you're left with a broken soldier and you're left with a broken individual that has nowhere to take out that frustration. So when you come home, you now have 22 veterans a day that commit suicide and one active duty person a day that commits suicide because they no longer have an outlet for the abuse that they've endured. So to sit there and say that you have to abuse your troops in order to make them effective, that's crap.
Yep.
Personally, as a paramedic, I've been in this field for 11 years after I came out of the military. After I came out, I went into EMS. And honestly, I get abused by patients, but I don't get abused by my supervisors. I don't get abused by my crews. Like, so in order to be a more effective person, you train them to do the job they're meant to do. You don't have to abuse them to get to do the job. And that's even as an infantry soldier, part of your job is to train non-combat units to be able to fight in combat. You don't beat the driver just to teach them how to shoot better. You just teach them how to shoot better.
Yeah, exactly.
So I have two things. We have 15 minutes left, and there's a couple things I want to try to do here. So one thing I want to talk about is I want to talk about what you think the military should actually look like. And then let's do this first. I want to talk about, so some people are saying things like, oh, well, cis men are just better fit to serve in the military, and the military is about, like, people who are able to serve physically in the military. It's not
I'll
your
challenge
fucking...
that person to 3 minutes in the ring.
What?
Let's do some octagon. I do combative. I'll go combative.
I took a gold medal in the middleweight division. I will happily sit 3 minutes in the ring with them.
I'm a black belt in Aikido, a black belt in Judo, a brown belt in Jeet Kune Do. I want to see someone come for me. I'm serious.
And also the thing about it is like, the thing I was thinking about it is like, okay, some cis men are not fit to serve in the military.
Right.
Some people of any kind of people are not fit to serve in the military. It's an individual basis. And that's what I was like, people like cannot handle that. They're like, what?
And
what?
And you know, there's more than just fighting roles in the military. It doesn't have.
There's 850 jobs.
I mean, it
in
doesn't.
The army alone.
It doesn't have to be so damn ableist. I mean, seriously, you know, we need nurses, we need doctors, we need all this other stuff that's non-combat.
Yeah, water purification specialist.
Right.
And also something another thing that people are talking about was like, oh well, the transitions cost the military a lot of money.
Okay.
And. Okay, you go first.
$8.5 million per year, approximately, for the 15,000 transgender individuals that are in the military now serving openly. They spend 10 times that much on Viagra. How much does that cost?
And I'm like, and what about, like, and people are like, oh, they're just in the military to manipulate it. I'm like, what about all these people who go just to go to college?
Yeah, I joined the military because I had no choice. It was either that or starve on the street. I had no street smarts. I went to a boarding school. I had no street smarts. If I would have been out homeless, I would have been dead within a week. So I went into the military because I wanted to eat and I needed money and I needed this. I was poor. And that's what they do. They grab you. You're poor.
We got
a paycheck for you. You know, and if you're starving, who's going to really pass that up? That they get to eat 3 squares a day and have a place to live. Now, sure. It's crap. I'm not gonna lie. I mean, I hated the time in the military that I did, but I don't regret joining because I knew I would be dead now.
See, the military is the only thing that kept me alive for those 4 years where I was homeless, where the VA was like, you don't get no aid. You're not getting nothing. Uh-huh. And then finally, you know, I was out there struggling for so long, waiting for some kind of assistance. And then the VA is like, oh, hey, you could get some help now. Come on over. Like, it's a little late, but thank you.
I think that's very...
Can we also address the fact that not every trans person needs or wants transitional services? Like, not everyone wants to have surgery. Not everyone does hormones. Like, there's no one way to be transgender.
That's exactly it, too.
So when they sit there and say, like, oh, all these 15,000 really... people are going to all need the same surgery. I'm like,
I think it's very reflective of our current society and our current system that says that if you're on the verge of being homeless, or if, you know, you have nowhere to turn, go to the military. Like, why aren't there, you know, other options put in place for our people? Why is that the only alternative? And, you know, if I had, and that, you know what, who knows, you know, like, for so when I was 16 and my parents kicked me out and I was on the fucking streets for a good stretch, and I'm still kind of, you know, facing that, you know, that cycle that, you know, had I known about the military, maybe I would have, like, you know, joined and, you know, saved myself, you know, some struggle. But also, you know, like, also, I who would I be right now? I don't, you know, I would be an entirely different person.
It'd be like,
and
me.
Like, there has to, you know, why isn't there, you know, other alternative options for people to, who need help, or, you know, who have been kicked out of their, you know, parents' house, or who have, you know, experienced struggles based on their sexuality or their gender? Why are there not something in place for us?
Yeah. And plus,
it's too much profit over people. That's the problem, too.
Yep.
Fuck capitalism.
Well, also think about your schoolyard bully. Like, that's what the United States, if you really want to think about it, that's what the United States has become. you have one of two options. You either spend $1 trillion in education and the furthering of science and the furthering of making your community better, or you put it into the military so that you can beat everybody else up for telling you that you're wrong.
Yeah. I mean, you did ask what should the military look like, and I believe that as much as people want to abolish the military, we still are a country, and, you know, this country still has enemies and people who want to use their version of colonialism and imperialism to try to take over us. We still need a defense force.
We haven't unified yet, so there's a significant need. But
yeah,
But also, like, I feel like if we put more emphasis on actually, like, bettering our society and, you know, educating our society, then we probably couldn't, you know, we could probably limit the need to, like, actually have, like, have a military. Like, we don't need to go to war. We don't, these things aren't something that we need. You know, and, yeah, a military defense structure.
We don't need to be positioned all over the Middle East.
Right.
Then get angry when people in the Middle East are angry at us.
And right.
It is more complicated than that, but still.
But, you know, a defense force is like, you know, we stay here, we chill. If someone comes, we protect the people like we're supposed to.
Yeah.
You know, that would be great. And our military budget would be cut down so much. You know, all that money can go back into, you know, the system that, you know, will help people.
And then you wouldn't need to join the military to fucking go to school.
Because education would be free.
Right.
But what were you saying, Queen? I'm sorry, I cut you off to make the point about the Middle East.
What you said, like, we shouldn't, like, the only reason we're in the Middle East is because there's a giant reserve of oil, so, you know, that we need because of capitalism, because this is how we're funding, you know, everything is through oil and fossil fuels. How if we broke away from that, then we wouldn't need to position people over here. We could have people in America's soil, in American soil. We wouldn't need to have, you know, military bases all over the fucking world, just here. Because the last I checked, nobody was coming to bomb America. Nobody was, Chinese troops aren't fucking
If you
would that
to
happen, though? That's the thing. Like, would we just need
maybe
to
if
have
we didn't have a, like, a military system, like, if we didn't have a military at all, then, yeah, we would be vulnerable.
I would be vulnerable. I think so. But even, like, Canada would come down and, like, yo, we're going to kick you around. Yeah.
But, you know, if we but I think, there's a nice balance. So, like, if we have our military that is specifically for defense, right, in case we're attacked, then, yeah, we have a military at our disposal. But now we have an educated society. We have a house society. We had a fed society. We had a society that was actually built upon, you know, the basis of each other and valuing, you know, one another and being able to, you know, offer every individual has unique talents that they can offer the world.
Right.
You know, why not, you know, water those talents so that they can, you know, use them for the benefit of our society. You know, I understand the need for our military at this point in our planetary consciousness, but
I'm hoping we move far the fuck away from that. I'm hoping, like, we won't need it eventually. But so I want to say you've been listening to What Would Save the World on Radio Free Brooklyn. Thank you so much for tuning in. Coming up next is Tom Tenney on Brooklyn Bandstand. He's setting up right next to me now. Woo! Brooklyn Bandstand is going to be live music in New York. Wow. So if you like the show or if you don't like the show, I recently had my first email from a fan of the show who I've never met in real life, who has never met me, who was like, oh, I just stumbled upon your show looking for a communal living, and I started listening to your show, and it makes me think a lot. And I was like, wow. So if anybody's, like, secretly listening out there and I've never heard of you, please email me. I'll cry. I'll be so happy. You can email me at took@radiofreebrooklyn.com, or you can just email me if you want to come talk on the show, if you have anything you want to say. Oh, my God, I got disconnected from Remy and Carly in my trying to close up the show. Oh, my God. Okay. Can I just say thank you and we can hang up because everything got really messy? Yeah, that's what we're doing. All right. I feel so bad. It's just hard. I have to, everything got... Okay, we have a few more. But does anybody here want to say anything before we go, Persephone or Queen, before we end off this show?
Building community and learning the value of each other is very important.
Persephone, do you want to say anything else about your campaign? You want to remind people how to get involved?
I just want to remind people that the Green Party's motto is people over profit. We're not the tree-hugging wackos that everybody thinks we are. We're actually rather very progressive. And
Society needs more tree-huggers.
It's true. I'm not talking bad about tree-huggers. We do hug trees still. We're just not – that's not our main focus. And – we are becoming even more radical and more proactive, going out to, supporting everybody in their activism and everything. So, you can look me up at, votepersephone.org, nycvotes.org. And, there's a donation page there for me. You can find me on Facebook, Persephone Persephone for city council, and I am Percy for Disc 37. That's P-E-R-S-E number 4, D-I-S-T 37 on Twitter. And you can just find me Persephone S.J. Smith. And you know, if you want to be my friend, I'm more than happy. I do say a lot of funny things and, you know, keep it real. I'm going to try to follow the Cheetos thing about keeping it real and and just talk smack and shit about everybody and see how that works.
So I want to say Carly, who was just on here, we got disconnected, said they just wanted to say sanity, liberty, and equality. And you can follow them on Twitter at We Are Here 2229. That's 3 2s. Yeah, so... thank you so much for listening. And like I said, Persephone and a couple of other people, probably some people from Loca Vibes, which is also on Radio Free Brooklyn, are going to be doing a political, like Radio Free Brooklyn political talk show showcase on gentrification and colonialism at the Footlight Bar. That's 465 Seneca Avenue in Ridgewood. And I mean, a bunch of different guests, a bunch of different panels and stuff. And that's going to be from 7 to 9 p.m. on Monday, August 28th. Oh, my God. Holy shit. You really like me trying to say something and this thing gets stuck in your throat and you're just like, oh my god, is it gonna be okay? Does any of you want to ramble for a minute while I handle this?
I don't know. Yeah, I mean,
you can find me at queenamor.com, queenamor.com. I do a lot of activist work. You can find me dancing in the streets. I have a new video coming out soon where I dressed as a Virgin Mary and I aborted baby Jesus in front of the Jackson Square Cathedral in New Orleans. That's going to be quite the fucking film.
And, you know, FTP.
Yeah, fire FTP.
Fire the politicians. I mean, fuck the police. Yeah.
There's so many awesome. And Remy says, I don't have any profound last words. I guess I would just say tell our trans siblings to live by any means necessary.
Damn straight.
So survive. People who are going to fight for it are going to fight for it. I do hope that because I have to hope that something positive comes out of every piece of bullshit. So I'm hoping this trans ban opens up the eyes, which is not even like a real thing, first of all. I mean, there's no fucking paperwork.
There's no paperwork.
Just a tweet. Do you realize this? I mean, like, how is we'd have like a whole hour where we talked about the military and everything based off a fucking tweet.
A tweet.
Imagine if we just started calling Trump like the Cheeto Tweety Bird.
Actually, I usually call people who use Twitter a lot just twits.
I'm kind of a twit. I use Twitter a lot.
I've been using Twitter a lot too.
You have a cigarette calling your name. Wait till we're out of here, Queen. Gosh, you can't sit for one more second. You know what would save the world? It's for you to quit nicotine.
Oh,
I'm not telling you what to do though. I'm not coercive like that. Anyway, like I've said already, you've been listening to What Would Save the World on Radio Free Brooklyn. You can listen to other episodes of mine on Audio Boom, but we're switching over to Podomatic soon. But, you know, you're going to be able to hear all this stuff. It's going to be awesome. There's going to be some awesome shit. You're going to be able to hear all these episodes. And next week, I don't know what I'm doing next week. I don't know. If anybody wants to be on it, email me. But we're going to figure it out. Something ridiculous will happen. And I'll be really depressed because I realize that no one is ever going to volunteer for anarcho-matriarchal communism, that nobody is ever going to volunteer for that except for, like, a very, yeah, Persephone is gonna pretty much the people who come on my show are gonna volunteer for that. But you can't have authoritarian anarcho-matriarchal communism. That's just called some weird shit. That I'm not even sure if society's ever seen before, and if it has, it's in an alternate dimension. Maybe it'd be interesting to like try it out on like a VR